Saga Egmont presents A Christmas Wish by Erin Green. Read by Jessica Temple.
Chapter 1. 24th of December, 2016. Flora. I'm driving. Not my usual tootle around town driving, but pedal to the metal with power ballad blaring driving, the kind seen in plush car adverts. If I were driving in a snazzy commercial, I'd have a backdrop of raging fire, tornadoes, or cyclones looming over a dusty landscape to reinforce my mood. Instead, there's a pitch-black night sky and a heavy flurry of snow pelting the windscreen, creating a deep-in-outer-space illusion. Like the car commercials, I have navigated many winding and twisting roads, but despite having a sat-nav with the destination entered, I have no idea where I am. Take the third exit at the roundabout, orders the sat-nav lady. I follow her instructions as I have for the previous 2 hours. Continue for 1 mile, arriving at your destination on the left. The tiny screen depicts a checkered flag and a blobby image unrecognisable as my red mini. My stomach flips. I want to be sick. Not the drunken sickness that Christmas Eve parties can deliver. I haven't touched a drop of alcohol. But that nervy tremor, butterflies in your stomach kind of sick. Within minutes, I arrive at my destination, St. Bede's Mews, Pooley. I indicate, park at the curb and switch off the engine in front of a large church, with stone angles and angels illuminated by spotlights strategically positioned amongst the tilting gravestones. The church looks empty and locked. I presume Christmas Eve Mass was earlier in the evening. Janet, my mum, always goes to church on Christmas Eve, though not this year. Is this a bad idea? Should I stay or return home? I want someone else to decide. There's no chance of assistance. I'm on my own. The church clock strikes 11:30. I hadn't planned on driving here. I'm supposed to be dancing under neon lights at the Pink Coconut, laughing and joking alongside Lisa and Steph, surrounded by tonight's selection of tall, dark, and handsome Prince Charmings. Was I right to dash off into the night? Did they manage to flog my Christmas Eve extravaganza party invite to the ticketless crowd huddled by the club entrance? I stare at my surroundings. Adjacent to the church is a row of Edwardian houses with steep stone steps leading to impressive doorways. A large archway is straight ahead, through which the road snakes before disappearing, linking the houses to a quadrangle of commercial buildings. The buildings edge a pretty cobblestone square, freshly decorated with the flurry of snow and dominated by a community Christmas tree. On the far side of the square, opposite the church, a noisy pub spews festive spirit from an open doorway. My stomach convulses and my mouth unattractively dry gags. Oh, don't puke, I mutter, looking down at the red chiffon skimming my bare thighs. I haven't paid for it yet. I don't do tights, even in winter. I don't do spare plastic bags to act as sick bags stashed in glove compartments either. I lower the window by an inch, allowing a whoosh of cold air to bathe my clammy forehead. Breathe. Just breathe. I close my eyes. This has to be the right decision. How many nights have I dreamt of seeing the square? It's not easy growing up being different. Different from every child in the extended family, your English class, girl guides, or youth club. Everyone I know knows where they came from. Job relocation from Newcastle, divorcing parents, or social aspirations. They all knew how they'd arrived in the leafy suburbs of Bushy. Except me. Because I'm different. I'm special, as Janet says. Special. Not the most flattering of labels in today's society. Special counts for nothing in the employment stakes, the education system, or a long-term romance. Special doesn't get you far in life outside the 3-bedroom detached belonging to Janet and David Phillips, my adoptive parents. What would they say if they knew I was here?